ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, text 20, chapter entitled The Residents of Jambadvip Offer Prayers. Sa vai patiksya dhakuto vayak soyam. Sa vai patiksya dhakuto vayak soyam. Sa vai patiksya dhakuto vayak soyam. Sabai patiksya dhakuto bhayak soyam. Samanta takpati bhaya turam janam. Samanta takpati bhaya turam janam. Samanta takpati bhaya turam janam. Sa eka eve taratha mito bhayam. Sa eka eve taratha mito bhayam. Sa eka eve taratha mito bhayam. Naivat malabhadadi manyate param. Naivat malabhadadi manyate param. Naivat malabhad adimanyate param. Sabai patiksyat akuto bhayak soyam. Sabai patiksyat akuto bhayak soyam. Samanta takpati bhaya turam janam. Samanta takpati bhaya turam janam. Sa eka eve taratha mito bhayam. Sa eka eve taratha mito bhayam. Naivat malabhad adipanyate param. Naivat malabhad adhimanyate param. Sabai patiksya dhakuto bhayak soyam. Samanta takpati bhaya turam janam. Sa eka eve taratha mito bhayam. Naibhat malabhad adhimanyate param. Manyate param. S Sabai patisya dakuto bhayak swayam. Samantatak pati bhayaturam janam. So evaire taratamito bhayam. Naivat malabhat adimanyate param. Sabai patisya soyam. Samantata pati vayam atmam janam. Sah, he, vai, indeed, patihi, a husband, syat, good be, akutaha bhayaha, who is not fearful of anyone, swayam, self-sufficient, samantataha, entirely, pāti, maintains, bhaya āturam, who is very afraid, janam, a person, saha, therefore he, ekaha, one, eva, only, itaratha, otherwise, mitaha, from one another, bhayam, fear, na, not, eva, indeed, atma labhat, than the attainment of you, adi, greater, manyate, is accepted, param, other thing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He alone who is never afraid, but who, on the contrary, gives complete shelter to all fearful persons, can actually become a husband and protector. Therefore, my Lord, you are the only husband, and no one else can claim this position. If you were not the only husband, you would be afraid of others. Therefore, persons learned in all Vedic literature accept only your lordship as everyone's master, and they think no one else a better husband and protector than you. Purport. Here, the meaning of husband or guardian is clearly explained. People want to become a husband, a guardian, a governor, or a political leader without knowing the actual meaning of such a superior position. There are many people all over the world, indeed, throughout the universe who claim for some time that there are husbands, political leaders, or guardians. But in due course of time, the Supreme Lord desires their removal from their posts and their careers are immediately finished. Therefore, those who are actually learned and advanced in spiritual life do not accept any leader, husband, or maintainer other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Last paragraph. Lord Krishna personally states in Bhagavad Gita 1866, Aham tuam sarva papebhyo moksha ikshami. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. End quote. Krishna is not afraid of anyone. On the contrary, everyone is afraid of Krishna. Therefore, he can actually give protection to a subordinate living entity, since so-called leaders or dictators are completely under the control of material nature. They can never give complete protection to others, although they claim this ability due to false prestige. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum. People do not know that real advancement in life consists of accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one's master. Instead of deceiving themselves and others by pretending to be all-powerful, all political leaders, husbands, and guardians should spread the Krishna consciousness movement so that everyone can learn how to surrender to Krishna, the Supreme Husband. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. So here we continue with the different prayers of different personalities. That Sukadeva Goswami is showing that in different regions of the universe, there are the Supreme Lord is being glorified. For example, Prahlad Maharaj. In one Varsak is glorifying, then the others, King, I think it was his name. They are glorifying different aspects of the Lord. Badara Srava, also he was glorifying the Lord. They are appreciating different aspects of their glories, the glories of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. There are different types also of devotees and personalities. Like before we have a Prahlad Maharaj, and now we are hearing the prayers of Lakshmi Devi with the goddess of fortune, the eternal wife of Krishna, Vishnu. So the appreciation is according to their own realizations. So like the King Bhadraswapi was appreciating how the Lord performs the creation and the destruction a maintenance of the universe, but he's not attached. He's a manager, a king. He knows about that. What does it mean to be attached? Prahlad Maharaj, he has full realization of the protection of the Lord, and full realization of what does it mean to be a demon because of his father and be of the result of envy. So he's praying to Lord Nrisimhadeva for the welfare of every living entity so they can become free from envy through devotional service. Now, Lakshmi Devi, she is glorifying the Lord by explaining his supreme position of the supreme husband or the supreme maintainer of every living entity. And she is making a contrast with how we may pray to the Lord for having a lady, they pray to Kamadev to have a husband. And she said, so Lakshmi Devi, he's saying in the previous verse, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life, for he himself is dependent on time. So we have different protectors in life, but the main point here is that the only protector is Krishna. So what does it mean? Because is it not that now ladies, they shouldn't have a husband? That's not the idea. But the point is that we are dependent in all circumstances. And there is a supreme protector. But that supreme protector, he also empowers different personalities to become somehow protectors. So therefore we have leaders in society who are supposed to protect citizens. And we have in a family, there is a different categories. So if you happen to be a boy, a son, a child, you're supposed to be protected by your father, by your mother, or by your elder brother. There are dharma. Every role in society that we perform, or we have by karma, have two ways to be done, dharmic or adharmic. And in the dharma way, representing the Lord, protection is always there. So a wife's role is to be protected by her husband. But who is the supreme protector? In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, all these leaders and also relative members are described as sannyesu asyatisu, something like that. They are fallible soldiers. So although they represent an aspect of power of the Lord, their power is limited. So they cannot protect from the ultimate dangers of life. What to speak of the real dangers of material life. At the same time, we need to acknowledge that protection and be grateful. Because if we don't acknowledge these different leaders, it will be very difficult, or there is no point of accepting the Supreme Lord. What to speak of accepting a spiritual master? Because there is in material life, we have a very bad history. Everyone who is here, we have rejected that supreme protection. We have already rejected the protection of the Lord, therefore we are here. Now we are in a fearful condition because we reject the supreme shelter and we try to become that shelter and also take shelter of fallible soldiers. Therefore, in this material world, there are under the control, under the plan of the Lord, there are different so-called representatives of the Lord where we try to take shelter because we are trying to reestablish or looking still for that supreme protector, supreme lover. But in the material world, we are looking in the some kind of reflection of what is that supreme power. But if we still have this rebel mentality and we cannot accept a simple leader like a father, how we can accept the Supreme Lord? Because that mentality is there, still to don't accept shelter. So first of all, this material world is designed to understand that we are dependents, to humble ourselves. Life itself is made like that. When we are born, we are not born as a grown man. And when we die, we don't die as a powerful man. Either when we come to this world, we come in a helpless position, and when we leave this world, we live in a helpless position. And in between, we think that we are very powerful by illusion. But the reality is that we came here completely in a helpless situation, and we were depending on those fallible soldiers. But we really were dependent of them, because they are empowered by the Lord. So our parents take care of us. Then we took shelter of friends, and took shelter of teachers. We took shelter of leaders in society. We took shelter of a government, different kind of shelter. And through that experience, we came to the realization, especially those who are in a spiritual path, although we are grateful to all our dear ones or protectors, we came to the realization that they cannot protect us from the ultimate dangers of material life, especially from death. A child first thinks that his father is a hero. He's like a Superman. He doesn't have any defect. Most of people have that experience. Or maybe the mother, or if not his father, some cousin or uncle. And we see that he can really protect me. We feel secure under his shelter. But when we become teenagers, we start realizing the defects. And we start realizing, actually, now I'm really fearful. I'm realizing under who was taking care of me. Although I love this person, I'm realizing he's also helpless like me. He cannot. So there are, for many situations of crisis in life, we start realizing this is not my ultimate shelter. And then we go through different shelters. We may take shelter of, especially in Western countries, young people may take shelter of a rock band, for example, a leader. No? So before, he used to have his father in the bedroom, and then he changed. picture of father, grandfather, and he put like rock stars there, or other people. If one is a very intellectual, he may put some philosophers as a leader and take shelter in that philosophy, etc. But everything ends up in frustration. We change from different leaders through different stages of life. We change. We change friends because we don't think that those friends are good enough for us, maybe. We are changing. Then we look shelter. We may take shelter in different spiritual path, but then we may come to the realization that I cannot find shelter here, or from different religious leaders. But we find out that maybe they also are like me, and we become kind of skeptical toward people. So from that frustration, two things can come. If we are not grateful, we may start projecting that toward everyone, every leader, and then spiritual life becomes almost impossible, because if you want to take shelter of a spiritual master, you will start thinking he also may fail, like all the fallible soldiers. And if you take shelter of the Lord, it's more a question not of taking shelter of the Lord, it's more like a revenge. Like a thief, you cannot do nothing for me, but he can do it. But real taking shelter of the Lord in a healthy way will come when we can be understanding to our fallible soldiers and somehow grateful, and then take shelter of the Lord, understanding that he was protecting us in different ways. He, in this material work, is expanding through in so many ways to give some kind of protection. But finally, he will teach us that he is the ultimate protector. So our attitude would be a humble attitude when we take shelter. It's not a question of, oh yes, all these stupid people was trying to give me shelter and they could never give me any shelter, you know, and only you can give me shelter. But we don't blame the creation of the Lord or his plan. Krishna is providing all these personalities in our life are part of his plan. So we can try to see his Shakti there. This is in every species of life, like in insects, everything, that there are different protectors. So that's Krishna. So we understand that, and we understand that the ultimate shelter finally is Krishna. It's not we brush off, or we delete this mentality of rebellion against authorities. We understand that my ultimate authority is Krishna, but it's not a question of reject others. It's accepting the only shelter through different channels that the Lord will put. Because Prabhupada said in the purport, those who are actually learned and advanced in spiritual life do not accept any leader, husband or maintainer other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we, of course, when we read a statement from scriptures, we cannot isolate the statements. We know that they are taken in context. Prabhupada is saying here, we shouldn't accept any leader, and not a husband, a maintainer, than the Supreme Lord. So that it's not in the mood of revenge. I don't want any leader. So I'm the only leader is the Supreme Lord, and I reject all kind of leader. It means that we follow leaders, but we only follow the Lord, whoever is under His plan. But we have to follow leaders. Somehow, even if we are living here in the temple, we cannot say, Krishna is my only leader, the deity, my only leader. So we have different services to do, and we have our temple, whoever, like, commander. And we say, no, you are not my leader. So you are just a fallible soldier. My leader is Krishna. And then we come to our guru, and we also can say, Maharaj, my leader is Krishna. Like that. So we can project our own faults in our leaders and then take as an excuse, take shelter, so-called shelter of the Lord. But taking shelter of the Lord means accepting His family. So all disciple succession, for example, and finally all living entities and all His creation. We can not get out of here rejecting this creation, because this is the grape, so grape philosophy. Prabhupada explained that I don't have the names of the animals, but however, I will just make up the story to, in order to, it's not exactly like Prabhupada said, but there was an animal who wanted to take some grapes, but because he couldn't take them. And finally he said, oh, okay, these grapes are not very good. They are sour, so I don't like them. So we have those who are enjoying the grape, for example, and they say, oh, this is very nice. And we have those who may say, I'm not satisfied with this, and I reject this. And I say, this doesn't work. This grape is very difficult to get them. And I don't like them. So we have the Bhuktis, Karmis, and we have the Gyanis. And the Karmis, Bhuktis, they try to enjoy this world, although they may experience suffering, but they do a lot for that. And the Gyanis, they came to the realization that this world doesn't give you any real enjoyment, and they reject the world. But the Bhakta cannot, if you want to go back to Godhead and reestablish your relationship with the Lord, you cannot take either of these positions. Reject this material world or try to enjoy with all your senses. You have to be in between. And I learned to see this creation as a plan of the Lord. And learn to see, like Bhagavad Gita explained, learn to see Krishna everywhere. Which is a high realization, but Krishna gives very basic points to start learning. Appreciate this world as a gift of Krishna. Because if we cannot appreciate this a small gift, that this material world is a chance to go back to Godhead. Otherwise, we are in Brahman or somewhere in an inactive stage as souls. But He's creating this world so we have a chance. Instead of being in an eternal unconscious state, because we reject the Lord, He created this facility so we can go back to Godhead. The final lesson is to, beyond understanding that this is a place, as a temporal place and full of suffering, is included also appreciated. Because when we accept the Lord, we accept also everything that's coming from Him. He said, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Everything is my creation. I don't know if I confuse you more. But do you have anything to add to this? Otherwise, I would say something else. I wanted to read. You have? Yes, you can ask a question. You can.
Hare Krishna, thank you. What does it mean to accept a leader?
Accept leader.
Yeah.
There are different type of leader. So when we accept, you accept a leader, you're placing you somehow under his care, and you are trusting. Means that you trust that leader and you follow his instructions. So it's a dangerous, or can be a dangerous position if the leader is not good. The leader can destroy you. It's like a dog, no? Like if you have a dog, you are the leader of the dog, but you can also kill him. It means that you accept someone who is more powerful than you. That's it. That's like a real leaders in society. There are different type of leaders also in different fields of life. There are different leaders. We have they can be we follow many leaders, even as devotees. We are all following that. Sometimes devotees become vegans because they follow a leader, some leader in the field of veganism, who wrote some articles and then we like it. Another devotee. So we are not only following, accepting one leader, but accepting leaders. And according to the leader that we accept, we form our character. And so there are leaders in different fields. But some people accept leader without knowing it. So they are following the way they dress, the way they think. Sometimes you are thinking that you have your own ideas, but you are accepting that from another leader. And you think you. So according to the quality of the leader, if we accept pure devotees as leaders, then we can go back to Godhead.
One of the things that I was taught was wisdom is in the balance. Wisdom is in the balance.
In the balance.
And that's quite an art and skill. And there's not an easy answer. To that. And I'm hearing you when you're talking about it. For example, I'm thinking like the mayor is the leader, and I may follow him in terms of laws regarding traffic safety and the taxes that have to be paid and so forth. But there may be other things that I wouldn't follow him on, especially when it gets to when he's dealing with the mundane things under his care, like how to keep people safe in the city. It's one thing, but sometimes all humans, just there's complexity, it's difficult. I know as a Catholic, I followed the Pope, but there were times when I kept a certain distance. I thought, I'm not sure about that. So it's not a simple thing, but that's part of why we have a spiritual master. That's part of why we have other devotees to talk with, because it's such a complex issue, I think. Is that part of what you're saying? No, does that relate? Does that fit with what you're saying?
Can you repeat the last word? Hard to me too. I understood that you are basically saying that it's very complex to follow. Sometimes we don't know who to follow, especially in secular life. And what I was saying, basically the principle of following is there in the material world, and there is no way to somehow to escape of the. We cannot stop following someone else. So we, according to our role in society, we will be following. We're supposed to follow, even as devotees. But as you say, there will be times that if you put in balance, we have our eternal duties toward the Lord called Sanatana Dharma, and then we have our prescribed duties. And the most important is always our eternal duties, which means Sravana and Kirtan, Smaran and Vishnu, many other aspects. In the Bhagavatam is described, like even being kind to everyone in the spiritual sense. And then we have our prescribed duties. So when they clash each other, it's most important always Sanatana Dharma, our eternal duties toward the Lord. Like when they compromise principles, but like even when the demigod, I think when Bali Maharaj conquered the world, no, Hiranyakashipu, when he conquered the world, he was the leader, and even Narada Muni was praising him, even the demigod, because he was the leader. So externally he was following things, even, but when the time came, like everyone, they were trusting in the plan of the Lord. So finally, Narada Muni did his job by teaching Prahlad Maharaj. But he was following also Hiranyakashipu. Somehow he wasn't rejecting Hiranyakashipu. I don't know if it doesn't relate exactly, but... So we have to follow in society. We cannot say I'm devotee, I follow the only leader, and then go to bus station and don't pay, you know, the car and say I have only one leader, it's Krishna. I don't want to use Krishna's money for this train. So I want to save money and enter. No, we follow because we are learning to this principle. But in some situations, and you will put first your Sanatana Dharma. Right? There will be conflicting situations. But if we have a clear understanding of our spiritual duties and a clear understanding of our prescribed duties, then we can make those adjustments. But because we are giving example of so many things. We need to... Jai Jagannath, you want to say something?
I'm understanding that there are basically two considerations, a paramarthika consideration, like transcendental, and then a conventional consideration.
Naimitika, that one.
Or vyaviharika consideration, conventional. So when we're dealing with the conventional world, then it's generally based on duty. Okay, he's in this position, I'm in this position. So therefore, I have a duty to perform this particular activity. So then that way we accept authority in the conventional world because that's the only way it can function, otherwise it would be total chaos.
Exactly.
But when there's a paramarthika or transcendental consideration, the basic criteria is the faith of the individual. How much faith is he having in that particular transcendental authority, God, the Shastra, the Guru, and so on. So in the conventional world, following authority is primarily based on duty. And in the spiritual field, following authority is primarily based on the flow of faith. Now we have an institution which is supposed to be a spiritual institution, but we have conventional legislation in order to keep it functioning. So when we're functioning in an institutional environment, the primary consideration is also generally duty. I'm a brahmachari, I'm duty-bound to follow in this way. I'm a Zuma president, I'm duty-bound to follow that way. But when it comes to our spiritual life and our personal level, then the real consideration is our faith, because that's the only thing that's going to allow us to fully surrender to Shastra. No one can tell us you must put faith in this individual. You must surrender to him as your spiritual authority for helping you advance your spiritual life. That depends on the individual's faith. So in the realm of transcendence, faith is a primary consideration. In the realm of convention, duty is a primary consideration. That's how I'm understanding this. Because no one can force you to be spiritual or to place faith in spiritual personalities or so on. Although they will have to follow certain legislation according to a conventional situation.
And a question. In which way you can be forced to put faith in a personality? Because you have your duties, not like in a society, spiritual institution. You mentioned that you have as a brahmacharya, as a grihastha, there are different duties. And you said the main consideration is duty, like what is my duty? And faith is a consideration when it comes to our eternal dharma. So you would say nobody can force you to put faith. So can you give an example?
I gave one example. No one can say, my guru is so-and-so, you must have faith in him. Other gurus are not correct. This guru is correct. But that depends on the person's individual...
Yes.
His own conviction. You know, out of a group of gurus, this is the example I gave, you're going to say, you must put your faith in this one. He's the one you have to have faith in. That depends on the individual. Of course, if he's living within the institution, he follows various conventional legislation in order to keep it functioning. But he cannot be told whom he has to put faith in. That's an affair of the heart.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think that, at least in our context, I think we have the case of we are not told to put faith or to don't put faith.
Yeah.
As an order, because it's something also that cannot be measured.
That's right.
You cannot measure if you are following the instruction. Therefore, again, duty becomes the consideration. You can say, follow the instructions of this person. You may not have faith, but is under the social context, you may have to follow, but you cannot check that. You cannot be forced to put faith, and nobody can check if you had that faith. But they can. But your faith in the principle of authority coming from the Supreme Lord will be reflected in the way you conduct yourself. Because you follow, for example, if you have to follow someone who you don't have faith, it may be a temple president. But even if you don't have faith, you're supposed to follow. If you have an understanding of, for example, Prabhupada's institution, because your faith is not checked there. By following, you're not losing anything. No? So, I'm trying to understand that. So you just follow. But the another case will be, no, I don't have faith in this person, how I can follow? That's immature. Because he doesn't inspire me. Like he said, go to Sankirtan. Oh, he doesn't inspire me. No, but that's the instruction coming from the acharya. You can say other things, I don't want to go for different reasons. But we don't say, because you don't inspire me. You don't have a spiritual power, so you cannot say anything. No, that person may be appointed to give you instruction. Yeah, it's basically what we need, because otherwise it's problematic, everything, like because of our immaturity. So we follow in the convention, but there is I understand there is a spiritual understanding in following that, because you also have to have faith, at least in the founder acharya, if you are following the conventions, because of your... It's like Prabhupada, the main consideration for ISKCON, for example, to succeed, according to Prabhupada, is not the power of the personalities. Like, this movement won't be successful because we will have a powerful devotee who will save the movement. But this movement will work when there is cooperation among leaders. Because even if you have a great leader, great devotee, very powerful, like and visionary, etc., there will be clash. Because if there is no cooperation, he will have to do his own movement. Or he cannot adjust to the lower other leader who are not as powerful as himself, he cannot be humble. Then also there will be clash, there will be divisions. So the main consideration is cooperation, even if we don't may have this person not very inspiring to me or whatever. And that is what many proper disciples, they can, they are following even ideas that are not appeal to them. Some leader may have to follow, but they follow because of this cooperation principle that Prabhupada is established. So they follow the conventionals just to create an environment of cooperation, which is more important than creating another type of environment where the main consideration is the so-called purity of the leader, or the faith I have in them. And then as a society, everything will clash because there will be so much. We don't have that vision. Everyone at least doesn't have. So. Yeah, please.
Underlying all social structures are metaphysical principles.
Yes.
Even American social structure, they have you have the right for the pursuit of happiness. And these are all metaphysical ideas.
Yeah.
So underlying all social structures are, you can say, spiritual principles. But then when we follow them, it's usually based on a conventional understanding. I'm duty bound to do so, although I'm not inspired by it so much, I'm not faithful. And to be honest with you, a good example in our situation might be like coming to the Bhavasam class for brahmacharis, because we have to hear from everyone.
Yes.
And we may not like to hear from everyone. And generally, when I look at the continents of some of the devotees in some of the classes, it seems that way. But because there's an underlying principle, Prabhupada has given his particular structure. So we follow it, we're duty bound to follow it. But when it comes to the development of our inner life, if we don't have faith in the individuals that we're hearing from, then our progress at best would be very slow. Because in order to hear, you need to have faith. Otherwise, your mind starts thinking about other things while the class is going on, and you don't focus, and so you don't benefit that much from the process of hearing when there's lack of faith. So we can keep the show going according to the standards given by our founder Acharya, and it keeps the environment solid, like a solid sacred space for at least potentially growing if we so desire to do so. But in order for the growth to actually take place, there has to be, the faith of the individual has to be invested in the process. Otherwise, he, at best, his movement is very slow, if at all. And that's kind of what I was saying. So there's a conventional way, we follow conventional things, and that's required. It's based on spiritual principles. It's helpful for keeping us regulated in the mode of goodness and, you know, potentially progressive.
You have some faith also in order to,
yeah,
you follow, because your faith
in the
Acharya who established that program.
Yeah, faith is a given,
yeah.
Because the soul is composed of faith according to Bhagavad Gita. But I'm talking about the investment of faith in a real way and not just in a conventional way. Like, okay, this is the system that God has given. All right, we've got to follow it. It's helpful. You know, just like coming to the evening program or something. Now, all the brahmacharis, we have to do it. But many, when talked to personally, didn't or wasn't finding it very much enlivening. So we can go because, you know, the acharyas have said, our authorities are saying. And we have faith in the principle of following authority and keeping it together. But when there isn't a real investment in faith, the programs would become like a drag. And, you know, kirtan's going on, Siddharth's looking at the thing on the bulletin board, and other devotees are spacing out and doing other things. Because the investment in faith is not real, it's not substantial.
Yeah, that's why a great personality who can imbibe faith in others is the soul of the heart of a religion, process, or institution. It's after many years, there is no personality who can inspire others, even in a temple situation. the face start watered down, and then one say, "What am I following this? I say, what am I doing this? Because only duty or fear cannot one be successful by that. Because especially in a non-profit organization, because yeah, because." Yeah, if you get some salary, you can go. You don't care who's speaking. You don't care who's speaking about, you know, who's singing. Yes, when it I agree. So that's a natural thing, the inspiration. But we work better when we do. But we had the understanding. Anyway, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.